quick. Run for your life. It's the Loot Mechanics Podcast. Beerless and Skolmas have returned from beyond space and time to wreak havoc upon all they survey while chatting sarcastically about video and tabletop gaming. With snark and poorly thought out hot takes, they may bring even the strongest man to their knees, shattering even the most stalwart sanity. Run while you still can.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Skolmas.
And I'm Beerless.
And so, what's been up with you today or this week?
Well, mostly trying to get ready to play D&D again.
Nice. I understand you guys are getting together, what, next week maybe?
Hoping to.
Yeah. Around here, it's been not a lot much. I mean, oh, sure, I'm playing something, but I'll talk about that later on in the show. But otherwise, not a lot really going on. I've been wanting to do some solo role-playing with The Sprawl, which is a Powered by the Apocalypse cyberpunk game. Keep not being able to because of that other game we'll be talking about later in the show. Still having fun playing Animal Crossing, so there's that. Yeah. Oh, hey, did I mention that vaccine mandates are a bitch?
Why?
Oh, I support them. Absolutely.
Right. I know you do.
I'm vaccinated. And I work in healthcare. I work at a hospital.
That should be a given.
Yeah, but suddenly losing a bunch of people because they didn't manage to get an exemption or to get vaccinated in time. Kind of a pain. The rest of us have to pick up that slack.
No, you don't.
We were already short-staffed. So
no, you don't.
Oh, did I mention there's a strike looming?
They need to pay you more then.
Oh, no. No, they don't. That's not their thing. They don't do that. But, hey, there's also a strike looming. So that's awesome. Although, I will say, we're in a allied union, so we fully support it. And on my weekend, I do intend to be walking that strike line, supporting, if it comes to that. So I'll have even less time to game. But it's important.
Yeah.
How in the hell do you have a healthcare organization that wants to nickel and dime their nurses in a time when other healthcare organizations are giving 10% bonuses, 10% raises, sign-on bonuses, all kinds of stuff, and they want to lowball for nurses?
Go ahead. See how quickly your nurses get jobs elsewhere.
Yeah,
it's
not a great situation. We're hopeful that they will come to an agreement soon. But we went to them, as our alliance went to them with a reasonable offer, and they came back with literally an insult, something they knew we wouldn't accept, hoping to force us to accept it. How about no? But well, I don't want to get into that.
In the industry I'm in right now,
yeah.
If you've got a technician who's been working in the company for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and they start, you know, hemming and hawing about, you know, pay cuts or less benefits or whatever, when every company around you is desperate for technicians, especially technicians with some time in, they could just go, hey, I'm going to go to that company because they're willing to pay me $2,000 right off the bat
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. No, that one's willing to pay me $5,000. Boom. Now that company has lost a 5-year employee.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I don't want to get into the meat of it, but there's a lot of our nurses and technicians and whatnot are just looking to go home because they've been working their asses off for the last 20 months.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just like some time off. So they'll walk the strike line and whatnot. But otherwise, they've worked a huge amount of overtime and they can just take some time off now. Ain't going to be any, you know, skin off their nose. And if they really want to work, they can go be travelers and make $8,000 a week just going from, from hospital to hospital, helping out, basically paid mercenaries.
Well, I saw that Hawaii is paying huge amounts of money for nurses.
Mm-hmm.
Immediate, it's like 8 weeks or something. You come and work for them for 8 weeks, you're making a massive wage, plus your room, board, the flight there and back's paid, all of it. There is no negotiation on when it starts. It's immediate.
Yeah.
It's pack your shit up and go.
There are places all over that are desperate for nurses. So now's not the time to screw around. Just saying. Mm-hmm. Anyway, shall we move on before I get really mad?
Sure.
Cool.
The main topic.
So, Bealus, did you catch any of that D&D celebration last week?
Watched some of it, you know, mostly about Fizban's Treasury of Dragons and a few other episodes. I didn't get to watch any of the live streams, mostly because, like I said, they're 2 hours long. I don't care. If you're not getting a full adventure out of it, eh.
Well, you know, I tried, this wasn't primarily what I'm going to talk about, but I tried watching a couple of their live streams. Mm-hmm. And my sweetie and I sat through listening to one of them, and we watched from the beginning, and we were like an hour and a half in. And she looked at me and she was like, what is going on? And I was like, I honestly don't know. I can't keep track of what's going on. And it's incredibly boring. She was like, then why are we watching this? I was like, because I'm waiting for what's after it. So come back when it's on. Good point. And so we stopped it and we came back at noon, I think it was, and watched the, this was on that Sunday, the last day of the celebration, mm-hmm. and watched the, the Q&A with Jeremy Crawford.
Right. Ask the Sage.
Yes.
Sage advice.
And that was interesting. There were some well thought out questions. Not all, but some of them were pretty good. And man, he knows D&D really, really well.
Well, I'd like to think so.
Yeah, he's their primary systems developer. I get it. But yeah, I mean, he had to refer to some books too, but they're just off the top of his head knowledge that he'd pop out. We're like, wow, yeah, I couldn't do that. That's just a little bit much.
Well, if your job was D&D, you'd be able to do that.
Sure. Yeah, but speaking of D&D, though,
mm-hmm.
The cornerstone of the whole celebration was the very last segment they showed, in my opinion.
Yeah, future of D&D.
The future of D&D. And I knew something was coming because Amazon had leaked. There was some sort of expensive set coming.
It was like $165 to $169, depending on where you look.
And it looked to me like, wow, that's probably a gift set. But of what? Turns out, yeah, it's a gift set for two books I already have. Xanathar's and Tasha's, which is already why I'm not going to buy it.
Well, right. You've already got them. You don't need to buy them.
Right. Now, they do say that if you buy them, there's foil. The artwork's been changed, so it's kind of foil embossed.
Right.
On
so
the
there's
cover.
More collectability to them. I get it.
Yeah, it looks nifty, and it's in a slip case and all that. But the third
and it
book.
Comes with a DM screen. Yeah.
Yeah. The third book is the important book. It's not $170 worth of book, but Horden Kanan's Monsters of the Multiverse.
Yep.
Where they give you every creature outside of the Monster Manual that's been released officially for D&D 5th edition, all in one book, plus 30 playable monster races.
Right. Also, none of them are new. They're all from other sources.
Correct.
You know, like the Tortle package.
Stuff from, you know, Salt's, yeah. Whatever, Ghost Marsh.
Yeah.
Book.
Ghosts of Salt Marsh.
Yes, yes. Ghosts of Salt Marsh. Basically, but all these different adventure books and whatnot.
One thing they did specify is that the races they chose are all setting agnostic. They're not linked just to Eberron or just to whatever. They can be used in any setting.
Right.
So
it's
that's
not like,
something, you know,
locked to Ravenloft,
satyrs,
for example.
And centaurs and minotaurs and things like that.
Yeah. The idea was to make it as open and available to fit into pretty much any campaign without having to make a big deal out of it. So Warforged, I don't see Warforged being in that book personally. That's an Eberron thing,
right?
For example. But that's really cool, and I do very much hope that in the following months, at some point, once their sales of the gift box have waned, they will release just Monsters of the Multiverse by itself. Because I want that book.
Well, no, they're already planning on selling it as an individual book, but it's going to be down the road.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's not going to be in January. This gift set comes out.
I did hear that you could get the PDF version. You could buy the PDF version in January. But
sure, great.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of PDF versions.
I mean, if that's the only option you got, fine. And it's not going to be super expensive, whatever. No thanks. But okay, that for some people, cool. I get it. And there were some other things that were brought up in of D&D, which are very interesting. For example, before we get to the big thing, Jeremy Crawford showed a piece of artwork, some initial artwork, of a hamster.
No, not a hamster.
Hamster. All you see is this hamster's head and a circle symbol behind him, kind of like a halo with symbols and whatnot on it. And everyone freaked out because everyone knows who that is.
Yeah.
That's Boo, the space hamster. He didn't say so, but he said it would be connected to an upcoming classic setting for D&D that will be coming to the game. He confirmed Space Jammer or whatever. Spelljammer. Thank you. I'm tired so much of playing that other game that we'll talk about later. Yeah, so he confirmed Spelljammer. And there's still some people going, well, maybe it's Planescape. I don't know, is Boo in Planescape, bitch? No. Well, maybe it's a combo of the two. Where the fuck did you come up with that idea? Oh, wait, you just really want Planescape. And I get it. Planescape was kind of a cool setting, I guess.
Well, and if you talk to other gamers, they're supposed to be, not only are they in the next year, they're bringing out two classics campaign settings are coming back, but there's also new settings coming out.
Entirely talking, new.
Yeah, entirely new, like Eberron.
Yeah. And so, they confirmed those new settings are not based on Magic the Gathering. They are entirely new.
Right. And that's got a lot of people wondering if they're doing the modern setting.
Possible. I mean, there is a third party D&D modern based on the 5th edition SRD, which is a standard resource document. So it's not full D&D 5th edition, but it's the core of it. That's what most people that use, that make 5th edition compatible products use the SRD as it's their basis.
Right.
So there's a third party D&D modern for 5th edition, but as far as I know, I think there is. I know there was for 3.5. I'm pretty sure there is one for 5, but that's not official. A modern one would be freaking cool.
There's also another little tidbit that they were discussing.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about they've got a new product in the works. And I don't remember if it was hinted at or if it was outright said, but a lot of people are screaming they're either buying up D&D Beyond, or they're doing a virtual tabletop.
Yeah. They did mention that it is digital. It is a fully digital product, but they did not go into further details. And to me, the first thing that came to mind was a virtual tabletop, because they have never ventured into that market. Whether they buy an existing one, like, say, a Fantasy Grounds, and then they can put all of their products on that platform exclusive for a certain amount of time to drive more people to playing it using their virtual tabletop, they could kill their competition. But, yeah, there's also the whole D&D Beyond. They could do both. Buy up D&D Beyond and combine it with a virtual tabletop. That's just a massive cool factor.
Yep.
So that's really something to look forward to. But there was a big thing that got mentioned. And it was the cornerstone of it. And it was the showstopper. It was the mic dropper. It was the Big Daddy info drop. Would you care to tell everybody what that was, Bielus?
Well, in 2024, they're putting out a whole new rule set basically, which is backwards compatible with 5th edition. So they're basically putting out 5.5, which is pretty much what everybody expected. It's not a real big surprise, because every podcaster, every streamer, every whatever has been, you know, it's been 7 years, you know?
By then it would have been 10.
That needs to be cleaned up. You need to put out 5.5.
Yeah. But now here's the thing. They put out 5th edition on their 40th anniversary in 2014. Their 50th anniversary is 2024, when this is getting released. right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to have a new D&D. The odds are the standard three books. Dungeon Master's Guide, Player's Handbook, Monster Manual.
Right.
And most people think, okay, 5.5, because he clearly said that it will be backwards compatible with 5th edition. All of your current books will still work with it. It's effectively cleaning up the rules, which is what 3.5 did to 3rd edition.
Right.
But there's two schools of thought on this. Well, three, really. It's 5.5. Got it. No problem. You're the majority. Sit down. Then there's the people that go, well, it could be a 6th edition that just happens to be backwards compatible with 5th edition.
Not likely.
Well, whether it's 5.5 or 6 or whatever, it's just a name. We know it will be similar enough to be backwards compatible. But they can call it 12th edition if they want. Doesn't matter. But then there's my school of thought on it. I think they're going to call it Dungeons & Dragons 50th Anniversary Edition. No 5.5, no 6, just 50th Anniversary Edition. It works well with the 5th edition, going to 50 to, you know, there's still that 5 there as a core part of it. But it's kind of like Vampire the Masquerade when they put out their 20th Anniversary Edition. Rifts did the same thing, a 20th Anniversary Edition. They didn't call it 2nd edition, it's 20th Anniversary. I could absolutely see them not calling it 5.5, because that's what everybody expects, calling it 50th. So everyone would just call it D&D 50. Then in another decade or so, 5 to 10 years, they put out 6th edition, or whatever they want to call it. I don't know. All I know is, in what, a little less than 3 years, I will be throwing all the money at them to get those books.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the pre-orders open, money on table. My credit card is already ready. I just got a new credit card. It doesn't expire till 2025. Actually, 2026. It's good.
Got anal salve for it.
I am ready to go. I will, if they release it in a collector's edition, slipcase, model, all that good stuff like they did 4th edition, I am on it. Whether I play it or not, I don't care, because it's D&D. You know? I assume you're excited about it too.
Oh, very much excited about it, but it's one of those things where we're going to get more information as time goes on. I don't want to jump to conclusions and start planning and preparing for something that may or may not go the way I expect it to. So I'm just going to wait and see.
Sure.
Because right now there are people who are fervidly angry about this. I mean, they're just losing their freaking minds because they think, all this money I spent for this, and they're changing it. How dare they?
It's 3 years from now.
You just got into it. You just got into the game. And you're mad that they're changing a 7-year-old game?
In 3 years.
In 3 years, yeah.
The thing is,
it's like, shut up.
They need to go back and look at the history of D&D since Wizards bought it. I mean, I don't remember exactly when they released 3rd edition. I think it was 2000. I think it was 2000.
Something like that, yeah.
They had released 3.5 just a few years later. And 3.5 was the dominant form of D&D until fourth edition came out in 2008. So that was 8 years of 3 and 3.5, basically. From 2008 to 2014, 6 years, you had fourth edition. And fourth edition, while interesting, and some people love it, it sucked. It was not, it was D&D, but not. They changed it way too much. It was the World of Warcraft of D&D. They tried to make it an MMORPG-like, and it didn't work. Then,
well, I mean, you can't fault them because, I mean, that was the big thing at the time in gaming was MMOs.
Sure. But we've never had a version of D&D last 10 freaking years without a new edition. So now they're going to do a, they didn't even call it a new edition. They said an iteration of that's backwards compatible. Okay, 5.5. We all know it's 5.5. I just like to call it 50th edition because I gotta be contrarian. But whatever. If you're mad about that, fuck you. Seriously, just fuck you. Is anybody that gets mad about that? You're wrong and should feel bad about yourself. Go sit in the corner. Because, damn, son, you don't understand how much you've gotten out of this edition. Oh, but I just bun in. You're a noob. Shut up. There's your corner. Go sit in it.
Well, the way I see it is if you're that freaked out because a seven-year-old game is starting to adjust, there are games out there that have never changed.
Sure.
They're stagnant, and they like it that way.
Yep.
They have fans. People are playing them. Go play that.
Yep. They're absolutely set in their mindset that this is the way the game will be and it will never change.
Uh-huh.
Good for you. Fuck off. Even Cyberpunk 2013, the original Cyberpunk, lasted for many years. Then they released 2020, and it lasted 20 freaking years before they put out Cyberpunk Red just last year. In fact, it lasted more than 20 years. Yeah, that was out in the 90s. Fuck, I think that was out in the 80s. Anyway, it's an old-ass game. They don't update very much, right? And even so, I would say Cyberpunk 2020 and Cyberpunk Red, they're fairly compatible. You know? If you're into that, go play that. That's fine. You want to talk about irritating? I'm not bitching and screaming, but I backed a game on Kickstarter, right? Solo tabletop role-playing game, Seekers Beyond the Shroud. I've talked about it on this show before. And when I played it, turns out I didn't even get it through the very first encounter without almost dying to a standard creature that you could randomly come across, right? Not great. I certainly couldn't have taken on an elite, so I had to run away. That's when I said, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to do this. I'm done. I found out not that long afterwards that he's fixing the game and putting out a new edition. If you want to be mad about something like that. Hell, I bought first edition Urban Shadows, which is a Powered by the Apocalypse game that is effectively the World of Darkness in one book, right? I bought Urban Shadows first edition last year. You know what I'm waiting for that's going to be coming next year? Or actually, it's supposed to be out in December, but it'll probably be early next year. Urban 2. Shadows 0. Second edition. It's a upgraded and improved version of the game. Just a few years after the original came out. Woo! Am I mad about it? No. If I was mad, I wouldn't have backed it. So yeah, there's games that will basically screw you and put out updates way too soon. D&D's not one of them.
No.
And what were they supposed to do? Not put out a new edition of D&D on their 50th anniversary?
It's not even a new edition. It's just an update to the old one.
But they're going to be selling new editions of the books. You know, they've been changed. Whether they call them 5.5, 6, call them D&D Hamster Edition, I don't care. They're going to be a new set of books. They'll be shiny and pretty on my shelf. I will flip through them lovingly.
Well, and that's just it. If you're concerned about it, start saving your coins. And by the time 3 years roll around, you'll probably have saved up the $150 or so that it's going to cost you to swap them out.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing is the standard MSRP for D&D books, or books, is roughly an average of $50 a book. Maybe a little more for some of them.
So skip one latte a month.
Yeah. The thing is, routinely when I buy through Amazon, because we don't go to our friendly local game store, because our friendly local game store is neither friendly nor one I would ever want to enter again. I know we differ on that opinion, but I don't like them.
And I'm not asking you to go to them.
Right. They sell even pre-orders, brand new books. I can get them on Amazon day of release for usually $10 to $20 less.
Yeah.
I saw pre-orders for Strixhaven and Treasury of Dragons, two upcoming books for D&D, at $29.99. They're supposed to be almost $50. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure people are going, oh, I don't want to buy new copies of the books. The three books are going to cost you maybe $100. I spent that much for one book recently when I bought Dune. And it was worth it, by the way. So, whiners. Anyway, any final notes on that topic?
You need to take medicine. You tend to ramble.
Time for a rant.
So, Bealus, I recently mentioned that I've been playing a little bit of a game that just came out, and I thought we could talk a little bit about it today.
Sure.
Now, normally I thought this would be a game that I would not be interested in when it was originally being
PvP focus.
Yeah. When it was originally being discussed, it was all PvP this and PvP that. I'm not into Gankfest MMOs, thank you. Anyway, had no interest. Then a coworker of mine who was in the closed beta said, yeah, you really need to check this out because they took away most of the PvP focus. It is still a PvP game. Don't get me wrong. But New World, it is way more than just that, especially since you never have to flag for PvP ever. It is gank free as possible, and I can dig it. I only get to play on the weekends for the most part, but since it launched, I've been putting as much time into it as I can. Like I said earlier, don't have a lot of free time, but what free time I have, I'm doing me some questing and crafting. I think it's a very innovative and fun game, but also traditional and very nostalgic. It brings back a lot of the good feels from early World of Warcraft. Maybe that's just the newness factor, I don't know. But there were a couple things that came up since launch that I really thought we should address today.
Sure.
Now, as I told you in the pre-show, this is not a game for you.
No.
You do not like the old school standard questing model where go get quest, go do quest, come back, turn in quest. that's not your thing. And I told you, you ain't going
to
like
this. Puts me to sleep. Yeah.
Right. Not your thing. I like the action combat. I like the simplistic nature of it. You only have a few abilities per weapon. You can swap easily between your weapon sets. So it's simple to play, but also has a lot of complexity to it. I like that. So game-wise, I really enjoy the game. And when people are just playing the game, it's been getting pretty high marks. But then there was launch week, and especially launch day, September 28th. Amazon made their worst freaking mistake ever with a rolling launch. First in Australia, then Europe, then the East Coast in South America, and then the West Coast of America. Well, I've seen rolling launches before, usually with expansions for World of Warcraft, and it doesn't end well.
Not normally.
Because, as happened, the servers turn on in Europe, who launch 5 to 8 hours prior to North America, depending on your time zone, and everybody rushes over there, clogging the servers. So the poor Europeans were trying to play New World at 8 a.m. their time, and the people that were still up at 3 a.m. on the East Coast in North America ran over to play on the European servers, and they had queues upwards of 10,000 people trying to get into the servers, crashing servers, and basically making it miserable, taking people's names that they really, really wanted. There was people that were just there for the day until their servers opened, who they were going to be abandoning a character there using the name that these people in Europe had wanted. Their name that they always used is now been taken up permanently by some chode who just wanted to jump on and play for a couple hours till their servers open. So, of course, when the East Coast servers opened up, a bunch of angry European players ran over and crashed the East Coast servers. Yeah.
Well, to each his own.
Yeah. So that was fun. Meanwhile, when 8 o'clock came, actually, 8:03 a.m. Pacific time, I opened up Steam, logged into the game, went, oh, look, there's my list of servers. Here's one at the top that has zero queue. Click into it. That's my server now. I think the longest queue I've had was Saturday evening. It's last Saturday. My queue was 4. I was in less than a minute. So, yeah. I've never had the game crash. Always had people around play with. It's been generally a fun experience. And you know why? Because I've been down this rodeo before. I've been involved in launches for many, many MMORPGs. And when I hear all the whiners screaming about the queues and screaming their name got stolen or screaming that, oh God, all these people are screwing me, or the company sucks, the game's a failure. The game has been open for less than a week. Have you never played an MMORPG before?
It reminds me of that one meme where there's the guy with the rope around his neck, and there's the other guy who's freaking out, and he looks at him and goes, first time, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just, it's, the whole thing's ridiculous, because MMO launches are always difficult. I don't care what game it is, there will always be queues, because you have and that's good. You want there to be queues during launch week, because that means there's lots of people interested in your game. If there aren't, your game probably isn't going to last. And yeah, the rolling launch was probably a bad idea. They should have just gone, we're going to launch at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time or whatever the hell, whichever time zone they decided, and just launch that. Yeah, it'd be a little early for the West Coast and like 5 a.m., but whatever. People would get up early for it. Yeah, it'd be maybe a little late over, it'd be in the early afternoon on the, in Europe, and it would have been the day before or whatever, middle of the night for Australia, whatever. But everybody would get to play on their servers at the exact same time. And everyone would have jumped into their servers and caused their own queues. But the queues would have been their own from the start.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have been clogging up other people, other areas, servers that they never intend to play on again. They would be able to just jump in and play the game, and it would have been fine. Overall, I think that Amazon has actually done a really good job with this launch on the whole, other than the rolling launch. That was a poor choice, in my opinion. They, I'm sure, had their reasons. It didn't work out as well as they had hoped. But you know what? It was a day of pain. And you got some people that are upset because they lost their names. That sucks. Maybe they'll be able to go, okay, if this character's never been logged into except for launch day and has been logged into for the last 6 months and they're like really low level because they were only played for maybe a couple hours before person left. Mm-hmm. Hey, yeah. We're just going to rename it, reclaim that name, and give it to somebody else. That seems reasonable.
Well,
whatever.
Yeah, that way it opens up a whole bunch of names.
Exactly. And if that person ever comes back to that European server, let's say, they can go, hey, yeah, my character name is gone. Oh, no, I get a free rename. So I'll choose this instead. Whoa, because they're not attached to that character. Are they? Mm-hmm. If they want to keep it, they should log in like once a month over there. Woo. Whatever. So I just wish it's the same way every single time a new game launches. People freak out over, honestly, in the moment, it may seem very, very annoying. And I know people are excited for that game and they really want to play and they want to have fun. Great. Grow up. It's a game. This happens every single time. Whether it's a new launch or an expansion, it doesn't matter. There's going to be queues. There's going to be crashes. There's going to be problems. But you know what? If you're having an issue with it, come back the next day. Eventually, things will calm down. It will get better. Promise. I mean, there's very few games where it's been so bad that they actually had to shut down for an extended period of time. Our Anarchy Online. But whatever. That was one game. Most launch week is it. This is why I made it. I jumped in on launch day, got my name that I wanted. Well, it's a modified version. I just added a little extra so that if somebody else had already taken my primary name, you can have last names. I just threw on a last name to make it sure I got the name I wanted. No problem. I've been down that rodeo before. No big deal. But I jumped in, got my character made, hit the beach, did the first quest, logged out. I had to go to a dental appointment. I didn't log in again until the weekend because I didn't need to. And like I said, I hit a queue of 4. Whoa. Maybe it's just I'm too old to give a shit about all this stuff. I don't know. All I see is a fun game. And I see most people enjoying themselves. It just bugs me when people trash the game for not living up to their perfect expectations. Let me think. Hey, Bealis, can you tell me about all the other MMOs that Amazon Game Studios has been responsible for, and if they've done a better job with those?
Well, there aren't any.
You know, you're right. This is their first MMORPG, and but, you know, that's maybe just the MMO part. How about all their other fine AAA video games that Amazon Game Studios has released previously that have gone off without a hitch? Should we compare it to them?
Again, I don't think there are any.
Yeah. Maybe, I think maybe they have one other game out, and it's not an MMO. So, yeah. Considering the circumstances,
if you're surprised, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure a little slack should be given here, kids.
No, actually, slack should not be given. They're a game studio. If they paid attention to all the other game studios and their launches and how well they went or didn't go, they should have prepared for this. But that being said, they are new.
Great.
Hopefully they'll learn from this. So if they ever do another game, they won't have as many issues. Not likely, but it is possible. But no, they should not be given slack. This has been going on since MMOs have been a thing. Everybody screws it up. It's just on how badly they screw it up.
Sure.
And so far, they didn't do that bad of a job compared to some of the other games out there.
Absolutely. And the way I see it is, if I had to guess why they did a rolling launch like they did, it was probably because they wanted just a relative few amount of servers running so that they could see how it handled and how things went. They probably didn't anticipate all these people rushing over to play. They should have.
They definitely should have.
And some people said, well, they should have region locked it. And in my opinion, I would have gone, I use a VPN, bitch. You can't region lock me out when I can say I'm actually playing out of Britain or I'm actually playing out of France or whatever. And can't lock me out now. So that is totally useless. If they had gone and made sure that they tested the servers thoroughly during the open beta that they had done, they could have just turned everything on at once and not needed to keep such a close eye on each region as they rolling launched. But I'm not an IT expert. What do I know? Of course, if you've got people on site dealing with the servers, you shouldn't need to do a rolling launch either. But again, what do I know? I mean, it's not like they're super funded or something. I mean, they're just Amazon.
Well, and again, they've had plenty of history to study.
Yep.
They've had to have been, you know, okay, this is what happened when WoW launched. These are the mistakes they made. What can we do to avoid it? This is what happened when Star Wars, The Old Republic launched. These were the issues they had. We need to avoid those, etc. Because there have been dozens of MMOs launched that had their varying degrees of issues on launch.
Yep.
They could have said, how are we going to avoid this, 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 and this? You know, just say the top five major issues that other companies ran into before they did their launch.
Yeah.
Maybe it would have gone off without a hitch. Probably still would have had some issues, but it wouldn't have been as bad.
Well, they're having 700,000 concurrent players on Steam. There would have been queues, there would have been hitches. There probably would have been server crashes. But they are doing what they can to alleviate that, and they're going to be offering free character transfers off of overcrowded servers, things like that, to spread things out. They've locked certain servers, the ones that have the most people, locked them so that you can't make new characters there anymore if you're not already there with a character. I can make a second character. If you join the game, you could not join my server, right? Oh no, we just find a server where we could both play. Whoa. Not that you're going to be playing it, because you don't like these type of games.
No, but you see what I'm saying. Games that are fun to play.
Yeah. Anyway, if they just looked at what, and I hate to use Blizzard as a good example, but Blizzard, when they launch a new expansion for WoW, they just turn it on usually at like midnight Pacific time, everywhere, worldwide. And I still see people whining, but that means that the people on the East Coast get to play, you know, in the middle of the night. This is 3 a.m. in our time. So, it's midnight on the East Coast, on the West Coast. It's not like optimal time for them either. But it's 8 a.m. in Europe. They're pretty happy about it. And it's sometime the previous week in Australia. I don't know what the heck their time zone is. But the point is, everybody goes on at once. And it works. There's still queues. Big ones. Which, considering how small they are population-wise anymore, compared to what they used to be, still surprising they have queues, but whatever. Anyway, all in all, I would say I have had a good experience with New World. And considering it's a buy-to-play game, and they have a cash shop where you can buy furniture items, cosmetic clothing, and weapon skins. That's it. It's probably the fairest microtransaction model out there. Probably worth a buy.
Wrapping things up.
Okay, so that's about all I got for this week. Do you have any final thoughts, Bielus?
The Halloween event is getting ready to start in Guild Wars 2, so there's that. Yay.
Yay. In fact,
starts on the 5th.
Yeah, Halloween stuff's going to be kicking in all over the place, and that's going to be fun to look forward to. I don't anticipate doing much with those personally in the games I usually play. Oh, I will likely jump into Secret World Legends because they have the best Halloween event I've ever played. So there's that. I'll probably mess around with that. But otherwise, I'm going to be seeing if they do anything in New World. If they do, cool. If they don't, I don't think I'm going to shed a tear. But not every game needs to have Halloween stuff. I know that's sacrilege, especially for someone who loves the season as much as I do. But it's true. Maybe we should discuss that on another show, though.
Okay.
Anyway, until next time, I'm Scormy.
And I'm Bayless.
Eric, catchphrase ending?
You didn't listen, did you? Now, look at you. You are an absolute mess. But at least you survived to gibber and moan before our masters and overlords, Bealus and Scommus. Be sure to tremble under their baleful eye as you give this podcast a great review on the podcast service of your choice, or leave a nice comment over on their website, scommy.com. While you are there, check out all the other content they offer, and don't forget to join the Discord server. If you don't, they will know, and they will seek vengeance.